All right. And that's our series is called More Than a Tax Collector. We're looking at the book of Matthew and looking at his book he shared. And today we're talking about Jesus's plan for our service. Okay. Now, the Davis family, my family, we're a family of planners. Okay. We like to plan things out. We have a plan for many different things. For example, each Sunday after lunch, we're sitting. I'm usually watching football and the boys are playing. We have a menu that we put on the fridge, and we like to plan out every single meal for the week, okay? From sides to everything. We like to know what we're having. One thing I can't stand is coming home from work and then having to figure out what I'm going to have for lunch. I want to know beforehand so I can be thinking and getting ready for it. When we go to Salina, for example, or Junction City, we don't go there very often, but to go shopping, we like to plan out all the places we're going to go in the order we're going to go and exactly what we're going to get at each of the stores, right? So whether that's going to the Sam's, Aldi, Walmart, Dillon's, whatever it is, we want to know where we're going and what we're doing at each store. And then who likes to bake? Anybody? Raise your hand. Who's a baker? You got to have a plan when you're baking, right? I know Mel's an avid baker, my wife, and if she doesn't go in with a plan and a schedule for her sourdough bread, it's not going to come out right. It's going to come out wrong, and then I'm forced to eat it and pretend I like it. No, I do like it. But you have to have a plan. To be honest, when we go on vacations, I have to limit my planning because I found that when I have a very detailed plan of everything we're going to do while we're on vacation, guess what? I come home needing a vacation from my vacation, right? Anybody ever been in that situation? You feel like you need a vacation after your vacation? Well, I found that's what I was doing. And so these past few years, when we plan to go to Indiana to see my dad or whatever, I don't plan anything. And I just let things happen as they may. And I enjoy myself so much better. And I don't come home wishing I had a vacation. I may come home wishing we had a vacation from the boys, but not thinking I need a whole vacation because of my vacation was so stressing. But, well, this morning, in fact, in planning this week for my sermon, I have a lot of scripture to share with you and a lot of slides. So, Barth, I'm going to apologize for you right now. You're going to be going for a little bit. But so we plan. And I share this because planning in general is a very good thing, especially when we are making godly plans. After all, God is the greatest planner of all, right? Just take a look at all the intricate pieces of our world. That doesn't happen by chance. I 100% do not believe it happens by chance. He planned everything, okay? Psalms 33:11 says this, "The Lord's decisions stand forever. His plans abide throughout the ages." See, God's planning is surely evident in the order of his creation, in the order of the revelation of his word, and through the cross of Jesus Christ. He had a plan for it all, right? When Peter and John were released by the authorities in Acts 4, the scripture says this. It says, "When they were released, Peter and John went to their fellow believers and reported everything the high priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices to God with one mind and said, 'Master of all, you who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them, who said by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot foolish things? The kings of the earth stood together and the rulers assembled together against the Lord and against his Christ. For indeed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together in the city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do as much as your power and your plan had decided beforehand would happen, right? I got a lot of scripture coming real quick. So in 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 10, Paul confirmed that God had planned the cross before the beginning of time. Here the apostle said this, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, a prisoner for his sake, but by God's power accept your share of suffering for the gospel. He is the one who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not based on our works, but on his own purpose and grace granted to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made visible through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He has broken the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." You see, church, God planned to give us grace, the grace that we have in Jesus before time even began, okay? God had a plan to redeem us. He is the greatest planner of all. And God surely has a plan for our lives. Just think of Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." God has a perfect plan for our lives. And this morning, we're going to see the Savior's plan for our service. So, if you haven't already, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. So, I encourage you to turn there if you haven't, as I have not. Matthew chapter 10. In fact, I have this convenient little bookmark here that's already there. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to be in verse 1. Okay, so this morning we're going to see the Savior's plan for our service. And the first thing is that Jesus calls us to his service, okay? We see this in the first part of verse 1 where it says this. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples, right? He just called his 12 disciples. And of course, this isn't the first time we see Jesus calling these 12 disciples to follow him. For example, all the way back in chapter 4 of Matthew, it says this. It says, "As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, 'Follow me, and I will turn you into fishers of people.' They left their nets immediately and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat with their father Zebedee mending their nets. Then he called them. They immediately left the boats and their father and followed him." You see, here in Matthew 10, Jesus called 12 of his disciples to him because he had a special service for them to perform. Luke's account of the same scripture says this in Luke 6. It says, "Now it was during this time that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God. When morning came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles." So Jesus had special service for these specific 12 men, okay? These 12 men to perform. And we can see that Jesus has called us into service as well. We know that as believers. Jesus calls all people to come to him for salvation, and he also calls all Christians to come to him for service. We always rejoice, right, in the Lord's salvation, amen? We should. We should rejoice in the Lord's salvation. But we must not forget that through that salvation, we are called to a life of service, okay? Ephesians 2, Paul tells all Christians this, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creative work, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we can do them, right? That God prepared. It's God's plan, right? Matthew 20, Jesus said this in verse 26. It must not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Over and over, we're seeing God's plan for us to serve, right? Matthew 25 in the New King James Version, verse 21 says this. Jesus said, one of the best things that we can hope for to hear in heaven one day, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, God's plan, church, is for us to serve the Lord humbly, to serve the Lord faithfully, wherever and however he calls us to do. And then one day, we will have the opportunity to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? So Jesus calls us to his service. That's point one. Point number two is Jesus equips us for a service. Okay? Just look at how Jesus equipped the 12 apostles at the end of verse 1. It says this. He says, Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits so they could cast them out and heal every kind of disease and sickness. You see, Jesus didn't just send them, he equipped them to go. He gave them all that they needed to serve the Lord in the way that he wanted them to serve him. He gave them all they needed to win great victories for God. And guess what? Jesus will equip us to do everything he wants us to do as well. The late law professor from Baylor University, David Ginn, liked to say this. He said, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. I love that statement right there. He equips the called, right? See, the Lord gives us the same degree of power that he gives the apostles if he wanted to, okay? And when we think about it, it may be nice to cast out demons and heal the sick. It's not saying he doesn't give us that. But God knows best about every situation and every way he calls his people. Okay? And Jesus gave the apostles this incredible power mostly as a witness of who he was. Okay? We see this truth in the beginning of the next chapter when John the Baptist John the Baptist is in prison. In Matthew 11, 3, John sent two of his disciples to Jesus and he asked this, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And in the following verses, Jesus replied to them and said this. He says, go tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news proclaimed to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. You see, God's plan for us is not mainly about getting his power, okay? It's about us turning to Jesus Christ and trusting in him and following him as our Lord and Savior. It's about being glad to serve God any way he sees fit, right? That's what it's about. It's about realizing that Jesus will equip us for everything he asks us to do. And maybe we don't have the power to heal like the apostles did in verse 1, but we have more power than we may realize, church. Just think about the power of prayer, right? It is powerful. Think about the power of our witness, how we live our life as a daily example to those in the world. There's a story about a missionary, a couple in Alaska, the one guy was named Everett. And Everett and his wife, Minna, they operated the Nome Gospel Home, and they did that for 30 years. And one of the ways that they shared the gospel was tossing more than 1,000 mayonnaise jars and ketchup bottles into the Bering Sea. And inside of them, they would cram tons and tons of scripture messages with over 100 different languages inside of it. Now, that may seem like a waste of time, but over the years, what did the wind do? What did the sea do? It carried the story of God's love to the far corners of the earth. Everett once got a response from as far as 10,000 miles away. Right? Now, I'm not suggesting that we all ditch our recycling and start throwing everything into the ocean. I don't think that's a great idea. But this is kind of what they did, and this is how they shared, right? This is how they felt God share with them, for them. And according to his perfect will, God gives us abilities. God gives us financial resources. And he gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't always get to choose the gifts and abilities that God chooses to give to us. I believe that is his job. But our job, church, is to follow the Lord's leadership, trusting that Jesus will provide us with everything we need to do everything that he wants us to do, right? That's our job. So, Jesus equips us for his service. Thirdly, Jesus wants us to reach our God-given potential, okay? God loves to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. He does. We're reminded of this great truth when we think about the men who are listed here, right? It says, now these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, James son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. Church, guess what? None of these men that I just listed are anything special by themselves, okay? They were mostly godly men, but I'm sure they were all still sinners, because we're all sinners. They were certainly common, ordinary men. In fact, at least four of them were professional fishermen, right? William Barclay explained it like this. I don't have it up there. I thought it did. But they were very ordinary men, he says. They were chosen from common people. They were men who did the ordinary things. They had no extraordinary wealth, no special education, and no special status in their society. Jesus chose these men not for who they were, but for who they could become under his influence and power. We should never think we have nothing to offer Jesus, for the Lord can take the most ordinary things and use them for his glory. Right? We may say to ourselves and to others, oh, I'm just an average person. I'm just a small drop in humanity. What good could I actually make? You see, you don't have to be the greatest to be of great value to the Lord. God likes to use little things to make a big difference in our world. Max Lucado pointed out that when he wrote this, he says, that guy who gave Jesus the donkey on Palm Sunday is just one of the long line of folks who gave little things to a big God. He continues by saying, Scripture has quite a gallery of donkey givers, right? Something so small, some small action of just giving up a donkey for Jesus has a big impact. And just think of all the other ones, right? There's the widow's mite and the little boy's lunch that Jesus miraculously multiplied to feed over 5,000 men. That's not including the women and the children that were there. See, God surely uses little things to make a big difference in his world. He loves to do extraordinary things with ordinary people. That way, he gets all the glory, right? That way, he gets all the glory that he deserves because it's not about us. It's about him. So, Jesus wants us to reach our God-given potential. Oh, yeah. And fourthly, notice that Jesus sends us to specific people. The Lord did this in verse 5 through 6. It says, Jesus sent out these 12, instructing them as followers, do not go on the road that leads to Gentile regions and do not enter any Samaritan town. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that doesn't sound very fair or nice to the Samaritans and the Gentiles, does it? Right? Didn't Jesus love them too? Well, of course he did. But God has a plan and a perfect time for everything. And his plan in our scripture this morning was specifically to send the 12 to the house of Israel. That's who he specifically called those 12 to go to. Okay? God has a perfect plan, a perfect time for everything in that plan. Our job, church, is to recognize his plan for us and to follow it. My plan, or his plan for me, is different than his plan for you. Who he calls me to is different than who he's going to call you to. Okay? What we need to ask God is, Lord, where do you want me to go? And who do you want me to see? Right? Now, we have to know that it's not a matter of distance when we're called to go somewhere. There is a time to go all over the world, right? Shirley, you were a missionary for how many years? Can you remember off the top of your head? Yeah. There was a time and place for Shirley to be a missionary in the world, all around the world, right? But there's a time to move to another country, right? But at the time, Jesus told the apostles here not to go to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans. That's where he was calling them. He said, go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Guess what? Odds are that God will most likely send you into your neighborhood, into your community. The odds are not in your favor that we're all going to leave and go to be a missionary somewhere else in the world, are we? That's just not what it looks like. But the person sent halfway down the block is no less sent than the person sent halfway around the world, okay? So my question for you is, where is Jesus sending you? Who is Jesus sending you to? I bet when I asked that question, who is Jesus sending you to? I bet someone popped in your mind. One person, at least one person, popped in your mind that probably doesn't know Jesus, or their relationship with Jesus is not where it should be. Ask God, is this the person you're calling me to? Right? Seek his will on it. So Jesus sends us to specific people. And lastly, I usually don't have 5 points. Usually it's 3. But lastly, Jesus sends us with the good news of his kingdom, right? In verse 7, Jesus said this to the apostles. He says, as you go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, the reason the kingdom of heaven was so near was because the king had come into the world. You couldn't get nearer to the king. He was right there with them. Jesus was right there in the flesh. Now, I know it's the first day of fall, and I'm glad my wife's not in here because I would be in trouble because I'm skipping fall and jumping to Christmas now. So, yeah? We know the Christmas story, correct? Luke 2, 7 through 11 tells us when Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds nearby living out in the fields, keeping guard over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. Right? What an incredibly humble way for the King, right? The King of Heaven to step into our world. Just think about it. One winter morning, there's a story about a pastor. He went to go visit one of his church members who was a farmer. And they ended up in the barn where the farmer was doing his chores, feeding the calves, the chickens, the turkeys, doing all the farmer stuff. I don't really know what farmer stuff is, but I'm only pretending I do. And the pastor says it smelled so bad in there that the pastor almost lost his breakfast and was greatly starting to wonder about his time of visit. And then to top it all off, he stepped right in the middle of a fresh cow patty, and it oozed up over his nicely shined dress shoes. Well, the farmer chuckled, of course, and said, come on out to the grass, pastor. We'll clean you up. And as they were headed to the door, the farmer stopped and hit in his tracks, turned to the pastor and said this. He said, preacher, Jesus was born in a place like this. Church, what an amazing thing that the King of the universe humbled himself to leave the glories of heaven and be born in a place for animals, right? Jesus humbled himself to go through hunger, through pain, fatigue, temptation, and sorrow. And most of all, Jesus humbled himself to die on the cross for our sins. And now the risen Christ, guess what? He will save anyone who receives him as Lord and Savior. When we do this, we're spiritually born again as children of the King. See, this is the most important thing because it's the only way to get into the kingdom of heaven. And I shared this Nicodemus scripture a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to share it again because he made it clear when he talked to Nicodemus about this in John 3. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the solemn truth. Unless a person is born above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he? Jesus answered, I tell you the solemn truth. Unless a person is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. We're called to his service, church. And as Christians, we are called to, guess what? To be the good news before we share the good news, okay? You see, the life of the gospel precedes the word of the gospel and prepares the context in which there will be hunger for those words that we're going to share, right? So what is the life of the gospel? The life of the gospel is the beauty of the indwelling Christ in our everyday relationships in life, right? How we live our lives, how we interact with everybody, that precedes us sharing the good news, the living of the gospel. God wants us to spread the good news about his kingdom every way that we possibly can. It's as simple as John 3:16, right? One we know by heart and one I'm going to share a different translation from, so it may confuse you. For this is the way God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? That's the ultimate goal of our service, is that those that do not know him will know him, will begin that relationship with him. See, God wants us to help people understand the truth about our Savior and our King. And this is part of his perfect plan for our service. Amen. This morning we're going to close with a song. It's a hymn, but it's an updated hymn. So I encourage you to stand. You'll probably know part of the song, but I encourage you to listen and sing with me if you know the rest of it. But let's stand together and worship the Lord.